You know, I'm so excited about all these. I am so excited about Blanca getting fired up about being in that class on Wednesday night. Anne's excitement. God is doing just a mighty, mighty work among us. And, you know, you are here this morning. And it is not by chance that you are here. Jesus says, where two or three are gathered in my name, I'm right here. And God has a message for you this morning. God has a purpose for you this morning. God has, in the same way that God had a purpose for Moses, he's got a purpose for you. And so as we talk about this, I am so glad you are not on vacation today. I am so glad, like Aaron, God pulled you in. And there were some, I'm sure, that were having that tug this morning. And God lost out on the tug. Because some, we got a choice, just like in that offering. We're going to let go of God's hand, or we're going to let go of the world's hand. And that is what we're talking about with Moses. It is amazing how the Holy Spirit goes before us and brings all these things together. Amen? All right. Exodus chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. The Bible says, now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the far side of the desert, and he came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And there the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. And when the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, here I am. Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. And then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. And the Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, the Jebusites. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So go now. I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. Lord, we come to you this morning. And Lord, as you spoke to Moses, Lord, I ask that you would speak to us this morning, that we would come into your presence and be transformed, that you would come close to us, Lord. Lord, that our hearts would be transformed, Lord, that our hearts would be pure as Abel's heart was pure, that our offerings would come from hearts that would seek to please you, Lord, and to be obedient to you, and that we would be transformed as Moses was transformed, and that we would run no longer, but find our purpose in your plan, in Jesus' name. And everyone said, transformed by the message of God, by the word of God. I hope that you have heard from God in your life. Have you heard from God? Has God spoke to your heart? Can you remember the first time? I remember the first time God spoke to my heart. I was 6 years old. It was the burgeoning metropolis of Holtville, California. You've been to El Centro. El Centro was considered the big city from Holtville. If you don't know where I'm talking about, it was actually quite a small town just north of Mexicali and Calexico. And my friend and I was 6, he was 7, and we had heard that free candy was available if you went go to the Sunday school class. And it was summer, had nothing to do all week, and we wanted candy. So we went to the Sunday school class. I do not remember the church. I don't remember the Sunday school teacher. But I do remember the word of God that came forth that morning 45 years ago. And the teacher spoke of the word of Revelation from the book of Revelation when Jesus said, "Behold, I am knocking on your hearts. And whoever would open the door to your heart," he says, "I will come in and I will eat with you. And you will eat with me." And that teacher was talking about this door. And I went out of that classroom and I had the candy in my hand. And I remember praying. And I remember speaking to God. And I remember saying, "Jesus, I want you to come into my heart. But I don't know how to open the door." My life was changed on that day. It took a long way to get that door open. But that day, I was changed. We're talking about a day of change in the life of Moses. A life that had great purpose and great focus, that was miraculous from its onset. Moses is 80 years old as we read chapter 3. I think the only person in this room that is plus 80 is Gene Bell. Anybody else? Nobody else, right? Who else is it? Are you pointing at somebody? Johnny might be closest. How old are you, Johnny? 76. Still shy of Moses' 80 years. Moses was born with all kinds of purpose. But God was prepared to do a great thing in Moses. You know, Moses is called to this meeting with God, a meeting on the mountain. And he said, "I have heard the cries of my people." How many of you cried out to God? Said, "God, here I am." You know what? God had already, he said, "I am going to do this thing." But he had already started 80 years earlier. Amen? He already started in the life of Moses. Miraculously born. Miraculously saved from the death meted out by Pharaoh when he would kill all the young boys. Look at this little boy right there. 2 years old. Would have been killed by Pharaoh. That was the target right there. And as this little boy is spared from that preschool class downstairs, so Moses was spared from being killed by Pharaoh. God was already on track, folks. And whatever God has called you here today to hear, he has started that way before today. Amen? Amen. God is on track. God is getting ready to do something mighty. And in the midst of all that, Moses is 80 years old. Moses is on the run. He was created to battle Pharaoh. And he's running from Pharaoh. He's running from God. It started off so well. And the choices that Moses made in his life caused him to be further and further and further from the plan of God. Maybe you can relate. I can relate. I made choices in my life. Took me far away from the plan of God. Take a look at this meeting on the mountain. It is a life-changing day for Moses. Maybe today is a life-changing day for you. Can we take a look? Can we take a look?
Yes.
Amen. There we go. All right, let's take a look. All right, chapter 3, verse 1. Now Moses was tending the flock of his father Jethro, father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian. Now, if you read this, Moses is married to his work. You get that? He's tending the flock of his father. Come on, you've got to have a little humor in church. Thank you for that. Yes. Moses, get it? Moses is married to his work. Okay, it was not that good. All right, where is he at? He is in Midian. You remember the Midianites? The Midianites were the ones who bought Joseph from his brothers. Amen? Not the good guys, man. They're like involved in slavery and all this kind of stuff. Sold Joseph to the Egyptians way up here. You got the whole Sinai Peninsula. Moses is running from God. Moses is out in the sticks. Find yourself far away from the plan of God ever? Find yourself just running, trying to get away? He is working for his father-in-law, Jethro, right? I mean, the only Jethro I've ever heard of other than the Bible is from, what's that TV show? Yeah, Beverly Hillbillies. You know, not the sharpest knife in the drawer, right? But notice that he is the priest of Midian. Not a priest in Midian. He is the priest, and Midian is not just a speck here, right? Midian is big. I mean, there won't be a lot of people there, a lot of desert, but Jethro is the priest of Midian. Now, you ever wonder what kind of priest Jethro was? I never had till this week. I just figured he was a priest of God. But then at this point, God doesn't have a whole lot of press. Amen? He's building his people in Egypt. Law's not given. All that stuff, right? His people are not a nation. He's making a nation. So I start thinking, who is Jethro a priest of? Did some research. Jethro is a priest of Baal. Yeah, that's what I said. Oh, wow. Because Baal does not get good press in the Bible. Baal is the god of the Midianites. Baal is the god of the Canaanites. And the Canaanites are lost in sin. In fact, we take a look at what the Bible says, Book of Ezra, which is the repopulation of the land, quoting back from Deuteronomy, says, "But now, our God, what can we say after this? For we have disregarded the commands you gave us through your servants, the prophets, when you said," this is as they're going in the first time to the land. They're coming back the second time. He says, "The land you are entering to possess is a land polluted." Can you say polluted with me, please? You seen any pollution around us? There's pollution around us, right? The land you are going to take as a possession is polluted by the corruption of its peoples. By their detestable practices, they have filled it with their impurity from one end to the other. Therefore, do not give your daughters in marriage to their sons, or take their daughters for your sons. Do not seek a treaty of friendship with them at any time. How close does God want them to these people that are worshiping who? Baal. Not very close, amen? He said, don't seek a treaty of friendship with them at any time, that you may be strong and eat the good things of the land and leave it to your children as an everlasting inheritance. That's no joke, amen? Consider Moses. Moses heads to Midian, running from what? The plan of God, the people of God, the purpose of God. Ends up in Midian, and what is the first thing he runs into? Women. What does he say here? He says, don't marry them. Don't give your daughters in marriage, and don't take their daughters in marriage. First thing Moses does is run into seven shepherdesses with their sheep, and the first thing his father-in-law does is says, take one of them as your wife. And Moses is trapped. Trapped in a house that worships Baal. Trapped with a woman that worships Baal. And is trapped away from the purpose of God for 40 years. Did you ever know how messed up Moses was? He was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. Man, you can miss out on that. Amen? Let's continue on. And he led the flock to the far side of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. Moses is heading to the mountain. Now, I'll tell you what. You got Midian, which is way far from the people of God. Amen? Now, Moses is heading to the backside of Midian. He is as far away as he can get from everything that is going on with God. Amen? You ever been there? You ever got yourself so far away from the plan of God? You just figure that there is no way back? Anybody? I want to let you know God can meet you there. There is no place that you can go that will get you away from the plan of God. Amen? David figured that out. Psalm 139, 7 and 8. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? David figured it out. There is no way. Moses was made to stand against Pharaoh. Moses was made to lead a nation of people. And he settled for shepherding sheep. You ever settled? You ever strayed far? You ever made choices that take you far, far away from God? You never make choices poor enough to get you all the way, because there is a place in the plan of God for you. And perhaps today is a day for you to get back on track. You can be on the backside of Midian, and it's not too far away from God. Amen? Our choices can get us lost. I made choices that got me lost. My children love it when I'm going to talk about some of my choices. When I was 14, I started using drugs and alcohol. And it was no big deal. I would imagine that Moses marrying up to one of these shepherdesses, he thought it was no big deal. That Moses attacking that Egyptian guard, he thought, hey, you know, this is no big deal. I'm just going to go ahead and start doing some of this stuff. And the more choices he made, the further and further he got from God. And I started using drugs and alcohol in 9th grade, and I got to 10th grade, and I really, really began to be lost. My father was in prison. There was nothing to hold me back at home. And in my junior year or my senior year, I remember graduating my senior year. I could not remember one day in my senior year that I had not been high or drunk or both. And I knew that if I had not been straight one day in my senior year, there was no way I was straight in my junior year, because I was twice as bad in my junior year as I was in my senior year. And what I look at is a waste. And as I look at the 40 years that Moses spent tending sheep, it was a waste. And perhaps you can look at part of your life and you can see it as a waste. Maybe you right now, maybe the Lord has called you here today, and he is saying your life has been a waste. But today is a day that you can turn it around. Today is a day that you can get back on track. Amen? All right. Point two. When I preach, I go a little bit long. It might be too long for him. So we have this very cool room over here. He can be loud. You have to sweat it. Teresa, can you show her where that room is and see if that room will work for her right back here in the overflow? All right, thank you. That way you don't have to sweat. If he talks a little bit, it's okay. All right? All right? It's just right there. You hear that other little girl in there? She's squawking away. All right, but that's up to you. If you think he's cool, you can stay there, but I just want to let you know that we got a place for him. All right, Moses has a conversation with God. Verses 2 through 5. There, as he's heading towards this bush, right, there the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. This is high tech back in, 3,000 years ago, okay? 3,000? 3,500 years ago. So Moses thought, I'm going to go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. And when the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called him from within the bush. Moses, Moses. And Moses said, here I am. Don't come any closer. Take off your sandals, for where you are standing is holy ground. God has a message for Moses. You come in here today and perhaps God has a message for you. God has a place for you to go. God has a place for you to be restored. Ah, yes, I was hoping they were getting to the right room. Yes, very good. And as Moses is headed to receive this message, I notice that there are some barriers that Moses has in his life. First thing we see that he's got to take off his shoes. Take your shoes off. I got to think there's all kinds of things that are more messed up in Moses' life than his shoes. Can I get a witness on that? But you know what? God's going to start someplace with each one of us. I mean, Moses had the wrong wife, the wrong father-in-law, the wrong form of worship, the wrong job, the wrong country, the wrong house, the wrong place. There wasn't a whole lot that was right about Moses. He was running from the plan of God. Are you tracking with me? But God makes the first thing and says, hey, you're going to draw close to me. You got to take off your shoes because you're standing on holy ground. Now, what does that mean? Think about what is holy mean? Holy means separated to God. That where you are standing is a place that is designated for God's stuff. And for you to enter into this designated place where God would do a work in you, you're going to have to leave some of the stuff that you're holding on to behind. Amen? See, you're going to get into what God has for you. There's some stuff He's going to ask you to leave at the door. And some of us don't want to leave those things. Some of us, it's like Aaron was talking about being stretched. Got one hand on the devil and one hand on God. What are you going to let go of? Because you can't hold on to both. If you try to hold on to both, you'll just split and you won't be good to anyone. So Moses is forced with a choice. And some of us walk in here today and say, God, you're going to take me the way I am? Shoes. I ain't taking my shoes off for nobody. Come on now. You know what I'm talking about. God says, hey, you got to take your shoes off. We got nothing going on. That's just the starting point. I'll get to some heavy stuff later on. But we're going to test your heart right now. See, Cain and Abel's heart was tested with the offerings they brought. And as Aaron said, Cain had an opportunity to get right with God, and he said no. Moses had the opportunity to get right with God, take his sandals off, or say, no, I'm going to be about my business. I got another 40 years. I don't need you. I'm going to be about my business. And you know some people that are like that, right? They ain't willing to budge one bit. There are challenges. There are opportunities. You sit here this morning, God be blasting your name, saying, are you ready to take your shoes off? Some of us say, yeah, I'm finally ready. I'm ready to get back on track. Some of us say, I don't take my shoes off for no one. Moses stepping onto holy ground. God is calling Moses to be separated unto him. And one of the first things we must realize is God calls us to be separated unto Him is that we are not. We got all kinds of stuff that is holding us back. You can't mix the unholy with the holy. Doesn't mix. What are some of the things? Well, I got a list here for you. Galatians chapter 5, verse 19 through 21. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious. Would you say obvious, please? The acts of the sinful nature are obvious. Sexual immorality. We got that going around? I'll tell you what. We got so much sexual immorality and impurity going on, people want to legalize it. People want to normalize it so that it won't be viewed as what? Sin. We just redefine our sin. Witchcraft. Man, I tell you what, you can't hardly watch a TV show without having witchcraft these days. They should have like the Witchcraft Network. We got nothing but witchcraft and the devil and demons and all this kind of stuff. Witch got what's Oprah's thing? Is O? No, what's her thing? Own, that's it. We can have Deb. Own and Deb. Deb for the devil worship. All right. So we got all this, and it's all around us. We got hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition. Whew, that's all the other channels. Dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, those who live like this, you're on that list, or that list is on you, he says, those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. This list is on you. You need to get back on track today. God says, take off your whatever that is. Could be shoes, could be drunkenness, could be discord. Take it off. And you can be separated to me. Today might be the day that you can get back on track. But today's the day you take off your shoes and something else. Amen? All right. Then he said, God speaking to Moses, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Moses receives revelation from God. God lets Moses know who he's dealing with. Now, Baal was the local god. Baal was worshipped in Midian, and Baal was worshipped in Canaan. But Moses is moving up. Can I get a witness on that? God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Moses is talking to the man who has the plan, who started a miraculous plan in his life 80 years earlier. And you come in here today, God wants you to know who he is. God wants you to know who he is. Amen? Hallelujah. The heavens declare the glory of God. Psalm 19:1. Ecclesiastes 3:11. God has set eternity in the hearts of man. Why does he do that? Because when he speaks to you, you got a clue who he is. He speaks to you and you know his voice. He says, it's me. I've been trying to break through all the clutter and all the garbage in your life. Finally, I am the God of your father. I am the God of Abraham. I am the God of Isaac. I am the God of Jacob. Today's a day to get back on track. God revealed himself to me. 29 years old. I told you I started using drugs and alcohol when I was like 14, 15. At 29, I was tore up from the floor up. Half my life, 14, 15, 29. 14, 15 years wasted. God had got a hold of my heart. I had one day clean and sober out of the last 14 years. Called up my sister. I said, it was Sunday morning. I said, what religion are we? And she says, Episcopalian. I said, are you sure? She says, oh, yeah, I'm sure. It says Sacramento. I'm looking through the yellow pages for Episcopalian churches. I haven't seen any. And I've been driving, I've been in Sacramento maybe a year. And, probably like 6 months. And so I find this Episcopalian church. And it was on Watt Avenue, the big street. It was like El Cajon Boulevard, right? I'm going, oh, man, it's right there on Watt Avenue, like maybe a mile away. But it'd be like going up to El Cajon Boulevard, but the church is on El Cajon Boulevard all the way in El Cajon City, right? And I am driving down, and I'm going, where is this? I'm looking for 42,810. I'm at 4,000. Where is this church? And I'm driving. And I end up in this church, 8 o'clock service. That church made this church look like a cathedral. 8 people sitting in that church. And I walk in there, and if you go to Episcopalian church, kind of like Catholic light. I mean, they still got the book of prayer. You stand, you sit, you bow. He talks, you repeat, all that. You know what I'm talking about? And so you're 35 minutes into the thing before really he just starts freelancing. Like I'm freelancing right now. And he says, I like to do this once a year. I'm like, I've never been to this church. Drove, all the way to El Cajon City going, where is this church? Because I like to do this once a year, and some of you have heard this, but I'm an alcoholic. And I went, whoa. I said, okay, God, you have my attention. God wants to get your attention, he'll get your attention. Can I get a witness on that? And you know what? That day started a sequence in my life that leads to right now. Maybe God has a day like that for you today. A life-changing message. A message that will get you on track. I know these youth want to be on track. Don't get off track. I know my son is going to back me up here. If anybody gets off track, you'll be getting them in track. Amen? Amen. That's what's nice about having a 6'3" son. Long arms. Yeah. Praise the Lord. God is good. Why? Because it's time to get serious. And you know what? Sometimes we just want to have jokes. Sometimes we just want to play around. Sometimes life is too serious and we don't want to deal with it. We get so good at running. That's what happened with Moses. Moses was running. And what did he find himself with? Living in the field with sheep. 80 years old. Johnny. When you're ready, you want to be living in the field with sheep? I don't think so. Nobody wants to be living in the field with sheep when they're 80. Can I get a witness on that? God says, are you serious? You want to get serious? Come on, we got to make a change. Moses hid his face from God because he was afraid to look at God. God speaks to Moses' heart. Right down deep, Moses was ashamed. Been running for God for 40 years, and he knew it. When you're in God's plan, you'll know it. When you're playing a game, you'll know that too. When you're running, you'll know that too. And when you spend 40 years of your life, or 19 years of your life, or 14 years of your life running, and God speaks to your heart, you know that you have wasted time. He was running from the plan of God. He had been running for half his life. When you're running, you know it. In that deep, dark place in your heart, where there's just you talking to you, and you know your desires, and you know your hope, and you know your dreams, and you know what is valid and true and most important to your life. Just you talking to you. That's where God talks to you. He'll get right down there in your soul, and he says, finally, I have your attention. And at that point, you can run or you can listen. Moses was afraid, put his head down in shame, in fear. And in the midst of that, there is an acceptance of fault. So you're going to put on the front, I take my shoes off for no one. There ain't no shame there. You're just working the game. You're just running. When you start untying your shoes, you start taking them off, and you're feeling the shame of your life, that is a place where God can begin to work. Can I get a witness on that? God is speaking to Moses. You've wasted 40 years. You've wasted opportunities. You've wasted your life. Moses made some choices. Probably didn't seem like a big deal at the time. You think back on your life. You think about the choices that you made. And maybe they don't seem like big choices at the time, but right now you are miles from the plan of God. Time to get back on track. Time to own your error and hear the voice of God. Are you in the plan? Or are you running from the plan? If you're running from the plan, you want out of here right now. Oh, my. Let me run. I'm good at running. But maybe today the Lord says, slow down. Take a look at your heart. And we can make a change. You get back on track. Last part. Lord said, I have seen the misery of my people. There's a lot of misery around here, amen? I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers. I'm concerned about their suffering, so I have come down. God is right here in this room. He has come near to you. Perhaps this is as close to God as you ever get. Maybe you're just playing a game. Maybe it's just a joke. Maybe you are totally freaking out. He says, I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land into a good and spacious land flowing with milk and honey to the home of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites. I don't care who's against you. God is for you. No weapon will stand. Amen? Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, Jebusites, and now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them, so now go, I am sending you. What? I thought you were coming down. I thought you were going to handle it. You know when God does stuff? God comes close, he looks for a partner to work with. Are you ready to have God come close to you? Are you ready to stop? See, when you're running, God lets you go. As Pastor Scott said, you want to fight, God will let you fight alone. Or you can draw near to God and you can walk with Him and you can take off your shoes and you can make a change in your life today, and your life will be different from today on. Big problem. People of God are suffering. People of God finally realize they're suffering. How long did it take for you to realize that the choices you were making were messing you up? How many people you know who do not yet realize that? You get the opportunity to wait. Oh, Lord, send them some destruction. Let them start crying out, because when they start crying out, then you got an answer. Amen? How long take you to cry out, Mike? Takes a while, don't it? How old are you now? 41. Boy, that 40 years, man. Bam. See, man, I was so smart. Everybody had all the answers I didn't need until I realized how dumb I was. Amen? People of God are crying out to God, and God is going to come close. When He comes close, He's looking for someone to work with. God's going to work with Moses. Plan of God is focused right on Moses. And you know what? Moses doesn't benefit one bit. He's going to set the people free. It's a massive disturbance in his life. And you know what? Moses is not even successful. What? What's God calling you to? Bible tells us that God has something for every person in this room. You're sitting here. This is for you. Ephesians 2:10, we are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good works. We, Christians, are God's workmanship. God is doing a work on you. He was doing a work on Moses, amen? Trying to get him back on track. Say, man, I started with you 80 years ago when you were born. I formed your heart. I formed your soul. I gave you an inclination to help those people that were hurting, and you have taken that and you have twisted it and you have run away and you have run aside. You have married a daughter of the priest of Baal. You have messed this up. He says, we are created in Christ Jesus to do good works which God prepared in advance for us to do. There is a list in heaven that you are to accomplish. Every person that is here, there is a list in heaven for you to accomplish. And my question for you today is, are you working it? Because if you're working it, you know. And if you're not, you know that too. Joe, 6'3", when his mom says, did you clean your room? He knows. He knows. He says, oh, it's clean. He threw his bedspread over all the junk in his room. He knows if he's lying. He says, I never do that. See, he knows if that's a lie. You know, that's where God will meet you, right down there in the midst of your life. Are you in the plan or are you not in the plan? Because if you're in the plan, you'll know it. God has called you to this place this morning, and it's holy ground. And because it's holy ground, God will call you into His plan. You can do wonderful things, set my people free. You can start impacting the people around you. You can get in the plan of God. And right now, God might be saying, you know what, I got a call for you, but you got to take your shoes off. You have got so much pollution in your life that we got to just start prettying you up. We got to start taking some of the world off so I can put some holiness in and you can be transformed. Can I get a witness on that? Lisa, you want to come up and play? I'm going to pray. Lord, I thank you for your goodness and I thank you for your word. I thank you for your presence in this place. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that there's no place that we can go that's far gone for you. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that I had dirty shoes and dirty pants and dirty shirt, Lord. You gave me the opportunity to take those off and give me new pants, new shirt, new shoes, Lord. New life, new opportunity, Lord, that when I was 29, got a message of change. You're here this morning, and God is speaking right to your heart, saying He's saying you're off track. He said, you've been running from me so much and so hard. Today I'm finally speaking to your heart, and it's time to make a change. Don't be looking around right now, but you're far from God. You're far from God. And He's saying right now, time to get on track. I got something for you. I need you. I need you to feel. I need you to feel the loss of what we have missed out on. I need you to come to me and embrace a new future. Nobody looking around this morning. I'm just going to take a moment. God speaking to your heart. That's you this morning. He says, tired of wasting time. Time to come to me. You'll be out there running and yelling and screaming like those people out there. Or you can stop running, stop playing, and come to me. Nobody's looking around this morning, but God's speaking to your heart. I want you to slide your hand up and say, that's me this morning. I'm done right here and here and here. Whoa, all over the place. You can put your hand down. Anybody else? Didn't put your hand up before. Hallelujah. Maybe you're here and you've been kind of heading to the mountain looking for that message, and God's saying, well, we got some shoes to deal with this morning. There are some things in your life that you're trying to mix with your Christianity. It just don't mix. So you're coming on holy ground. You've come as far as you can go, and you're going to have to drop some stuff off on the backside. You're going to have to let go of the devil's hand to grab onto my hand and move on. And right now, the Lord is just speaking right to your heart. He is saying, it is this. There is this aspect in your life that you're going to have to let go of if you're going to move ahead with me. And right now, you are saying, oh, Lord, I feel shame. And I don't want to feel it anymore, Lord. That is sin. That is displeasing to you. And I'm going to let that go. That I can run to you. Nobody looking around. But you know exactly what the Lord wants you to let go in your life. To put away in your life. You're saying, Lord, I'm going to do that. That's you. Just slide your hand up. You know. Anybody else? You know, God wants you to make a change in your life. You can put your hand down. Anybody else? You know exactly what that is, right over here, hallelujah. Put your hand down. Anybody else? Lord, for each person here, Lord, I just pray your goodness and mercy, Lord, get them back on track, Lord, where you cause us to drop off our shoes, Lord, that you guide us, Lord, where we ain't going to need no shoes or where there's new shoes, Lord. For those people that are far off and away, up in Timbuktu, Lord, out in the sticks, Lord, running and running, Lord, put their hands up saying, Lord, I want to draw back near to you and find fullness in my life. Lord, I just pray, Lord, just pull them back in. Use this church, Lord, as we would train people up for righteousness. Give you praise in Jesus' name. Everyone said? I said Moses was not successful. He said, what are you talking about, man? He made the book. We wrote the first 5 books of the Bible. He led God's people out of slavery into the wilderness for 40 years. Not one, actually only 2. Caleb and Joshua made it to the promised land. All the rest died in the wilderness. I would hardly call that a success. Amen? Moses did not make it to the promised land. He was not able to go in. Why? Because of his sin. He was not successful. But he met God face to face. And when you join God in his work, your success is not guaranteed, because sometimes we give all that we give and it's not successful in the world's eye. but God will draw near to you, and you will find fullness in His plan. Amen? Stand with me. Lisa's going to sing a song. If you want prayer, come up. I'll pray with you. But we're going to worship, sing a song, and then you'll be dismissed. Hallelujah. God is good. Amen?